You're listening to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, the show that proves no one stumbles upon success ever. With your host, Lou Need. Every Mondays and Thursdays, we deliver cold hard evidence behind the power of a robust morning routine. Get ready to be transformed by the renewal of your mind.
Good morning, morning enthusiasts. Welcome to the Best Morning Routine Ever. I have the honor of introducing Frank Goodman into our show. Frank is a serial entrepreneur on a mission to grow small businesses through strategy, websites, and his company's Bleeding Bulb, which we'll hear a lot about today. Focuses on helping small business owners increase productivity, sales, and profitability. Frank, tell us something that the audience would not know about you.
Yeah, so it was interesting. Went to college, graduated, went to different firms like Lockheed Martin, Northrop Grumman, Booz Allen. Learned a lot at Booz Allen. That was a very valuable experience where they taught me the whole business. They allowed me to work on proposals and things like that, that I found really helpful with my own business. And so when I started in 2010 with Bleeding Bulb, which is, of course, like a really weird name, but it was all about me finding out, what does this business need to be about? Like, what it has to represent me. So I was known for having a lot of ideas. So the idea was just like, it's a bulb with a lot of ideas. So it's like oozing up a bunch of ideas. And initially, we started as a tech company. We would just do websites and apps. And then we switched over to where we looked at the whole from more of a holistic view. Okay, we're doing these websites and these apps, but the customers really aren't being successful. Like, after they get them done, they're sitting on them and they're expecting people to just come. And that's just not the way it works. Like, there's work that needs to go behind, you know, just creating a product. These are just tools. So then we wanted to focus more on, like, how can we leverage these tools to actually make them successful? And so we made the language more around looking at businesses from a holistic view and trying to identify gaps and things like that so that we can really target in on what the real issues are or identify these opportunities and really kind of exploit them.
A good starting point. So Bleeding Bulb focusing on building sustainable businesses. You mentioned looking at the holistic view on how to get the increased profitability, sales, and productivity. So helping small businesses be more effective and more efficient. Tell us about the term PSP, productivity, sales, and profitability. I take it you coined that.
Yeah, I did. I just felt like when it comes to a business, we know the number one reason for a small business failing is usually cash flow. And so knowing that that's the pain point, I really wanted to have the business support that issue. You know, if we're going to say that we focus on small businesses and help them grow, well, how can we do that with ignoring, you know, cash flow or profitability or sales? Like, your business can't run without sales, right? So it just became something that's necessary for you to grow, and it's the biggest pain point. We wanted to create applications that were going to be helpful to make people more productive, which could lead to you spending more time on other things like strategy. So they all lend to each other. So if we look at, you know, profitability or even productivity, like if you're more productive, like that can easily lower your your overhead, right? Like now you can do a lot more in less time. Thinking about automated processes and things like that, different ways that you can kind of have a one up on your competition. So you really want to just refine processes, automate them when necessary. Let humans just focus on human work and let machines do machine work. That's one thing that we really believe in. And then when you get to sales, it's like I said before, your business is nothing without sales. I mean, it's just really important, and people can ignore it and act like, you know, money doesn't matter and it doesn't mean everything. But if you can't make payroll, like, it's going to be a problem, right? So then profitability. Just because you're getting sales, or just because you're signing contracts, that doesn't mean that you're actually making money, right? Like, you can make volume and just sell a whole bunch of stuff, but if there's no profit, how are you going to actually like function, you know? And so it's really important that everything is kind of in line, and we look at it from that view of like, okay, let's check off all these boxes and see what the weaker areas are. And how we can actually, you know, dive in and start to attack these areas.
Yeah, it is. It truly is looking at the whole, the holistic approach to it and what encompasses a company, what encompasses to be in business, to be competitive. Tell us about strategy. What are some of the strategy that that you can develop for business growth?
There's a couple of different strategies. First is understanding who you are as a business, what you stand for and what you stand against. Like understanding who your tribe is or your audience, because a lot of times people that choose, you know, they'll promote to the wrong audience, you know, who we even want to target and make sure that's the right group. Because if we end up wasting a lot of money just focusing on people that don't care. Like you need to really be presenting information and content to people that want the content and not just waste your time with people that don't even want to open it. You know, it's just like continuous engagement with existing clients, leveraging retargeting ads. Sometimes those email sequences, like email, people underestimate emails, you know, how important emails are and how they compare to other options as far as marketing and things like that. So, you know, you really want to focus on having your email list and people that you can just reach out to that already showed interest in what it is that you're trying to deliver. So I think as far as just strategy in general, it always starts with setting your goals. And it's like, okay, what is the point? Like whatever it is that we're saying we want, it could be sales. And it's like, what's the point? Because say, for instance, some people will say, hey, I need more customers. And you're like, why? Because I need more sales. And sometimes the question is more of like, how much do you know about the people you already have? Because it's less money to learn about the customers you have and sell them more because they've already made the exchange of money. Like the time, you know, it's greater. It's just much greater chance of success of you selling to someone that's already purchased from you before than to try to acquire a new customer. It's always going to be cheaper. So I think a lot of times, like just understanding why people want to do certain things, you know, because people just automatically say, I need more customers for more money. And that's not always true. So I think it's really just being creative and just thinking about, okay, like, let's always step back and think about what's the point.
One. The first one is understanding your tribe, understanding your audience. The second one is setting your goal. And what's the point of setting the goal? Understanding why you want to achieve and attain this goal.
Right. Because you want to make sure you're focused, right? Like, I mean, if you're just trying to do 1,000 things, nothing is going to get done. So if we stay target laser focused on what it is we're trying to accomplish and we make that a thing, like we put it on a board, we create OKRs or whatever it is we need to do to stay on topic.
On the topic of goals, I want to talk about SMART goals. Can you just elaborate briefly for our audience? What are SMART goals?
Yeah, so a lot of people are still focused on SMART goals, and it's about like creating attainable goals. But we focus more on like OKRs and things like that. And OKRs, are you familiar with OKRs?
No.
Okay, so OKRs is objectives and key results. And basically, it's a framework that we use. You can modify it to be whatever you need it to be. But essentially, instead of using so-called goals, you create objectives. And associated with those objectives, you'll have key results. So the objective doesn't necessarily have to be metrics focused. It could be like, we want to become the number one company that does X, Y, and Z. And then the key results will tell you how you're going to go about achieving that. So it'll be metrics based. And so it'll be a very clear way for each quarter for you to say black and white, like you hit it or you didn't. And you know that you structure it in a way to where if you hit every key result, you met that objective. So it's just a way for you to kind of map out your whole journey to meeting that objective. So you'll create different objectives. It could be lower level objectives. It could be higher level objectives. But the point is, essentially, is you want to create the vision and then you want to have like your path, how you're going to get there, metrics based. Everything needs to be more metrics based because a lot of people are just like, this is my goal, but like, how are you going to reach that goal? So if you just set SMART goals, it doesn't tell you your approach. It doesn't tell you how you're going to get there. So that's where initiatives and things like that come in. So it really kind of breaks down a lot of times to objectives, key results, and then initiatives. And it breaks down in that tree order. So that's really what we focus on. I think it's just a more structured way of making it actionable, instead of just like coming up with goals.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a genius way of looking at it. And I Thank you for elaborating, because I didn't know about OKR. And so it's, if I'm understanding correctly, it's trying to find the steps, the baby steps to actually attain the goal. It's not just setting the goal and leaving it there and wondering how you're going to go about achieving it, but actually in the process of setting the goal, you're outlining the objectives. You're outlining the steps you need to take, the strategies you need to take to actually get it. Say, if I want to read 30 books in a year, that's a general, and my objective would be, first objective would be to purchase my first book, sign up for Kindle.
Right. So it could even be like, I want to be a thought leader in this area or something like that. What does it take to be a thought leader? You might have to read 30 books a year. Well, that's a key metric to where it's like black or white. You either did it or you didn't. If I did this, I would be a thought leader, right? Like, okay, I want to make this revenue. Okay, what does it take to do that? I need to run an X amount of marketing campaigns. I need to do this. I need to do that. You check it all off. And basically what you're saying is, if I check this list off, I've achieved my objective.
Let's apply OKR to how to start a business. What needs to be avoided?
Yeah, I think it's a great way to start, because the thing is, what's good about OKRs is it's going to keep that new small business focused. A lot of times when you're starting a small business, you know, it's a very lonely situation in many cases, and you usually don't have the support you ideally want. But the thing that you can do is you can start focusing on what really needs to be done to get started. So say, for instance, if you want to establish yourself as a business, well, what needs to happen for you to do that? You need to get an LLC or INC, whatever works for you. You need to, you know, maybe you need to get a license. Maybe you need business insurance. Maybe you need whatever it is to make you a legitimate business. It makes you think through what all needs to be done for me to accomplish this. Maybe the next thing is, let's say you wanted to open you wanted to have a location. Okay, well, how are you going to get that location? Like, you need to be able to, you know, vet out different places. You need to do certain research. Maybe you need to hire someone. Maybe you need to. It's just you only come up with about 3 per quarter. So you'll have 3 for a year, and then you'll have like 3 for a quarter. So each quarter you contribute to that year. So the year is to look at, like, you'll have like an ultimate objective just from a company level. And you'll just say, like, you know, we will be the number one small business grower in the U.S. or whatever. And something like just big. And, you know, you may not hit it realistically, because the whole point of OKRs is not to hit 100%, believe it or not. The goal is to actually accomplish 70% of the OKRs. Like, you don't want to complete 100%, which is interesting if you think about it, because the whole point of objectives is to push yourself. So you shouldn't be creating small goals that you can easily check off. You should be pushing yourself forward and to where it's like you score yourself at the end of each quarter, right? So you really want to create bigger goals and you want to push larger. So, you know, when you start a new business, like, it's okay for you to not hit. It's not about punishing yourself for not hitting certain things, but it's about pushing yourself. It's about giving direction. It's about staying structured.
This already lightens up the load, because when you think about setting goals, they're usually bigger than you. They're massive, right? They're something that you don't have currently and you have to learn how to get them. And so sometimes they can be daunting. And the fact that with objective key results, you're telling me I only need 3 of them. Already, I'm like, okay, I can do that. 3 is small enough for me to target.
Yeah, and it's broken down. And remember, it's by quarter. So you have to literally plan out your quarter around this, because you got to think. You're going to have objectives and key results at a year level, right? It's going to be across the whole year. Each quarter, you're going to have to sit down with your team or yourself and say, what do we need to focus on this quarter to contribute to our annual goal or our annual objectives, right? And what do we need to do second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter? By the end of those 4 quarters, all of those quarters together, you should have achieved your yearly. So it's really a way for you to break it down to say, like, okay, now I know what needs to be done this quarter. It's super laser focused. I'm not going to get distracted by all these other things. I know these are the 3 things that I need to focus on, right? And the associated key results are going to grade me to let me know if I did it or I didn't do it, right? So that's going to be my metrics for me to say, Did I actually succeed? Well, I didn't. And so after you're doing that, then it's like, you know, if you run sprints, then you'll say, okay, for this week, if you're doing weekly or biweekly sprints, you can say, okay, this week or for the next 2 weeks, this is going to be the focus based on these key results under this objective. So you really have to break it down week by week. You know what I mean? Like, it's broken down to every day. You kind of, or week by week, you know what needs to be accomplished because all you're going after is these objectives. So it's just super laser focus.
And it will be able to direct your actions because of this goal. You'll know what needs to be done every minute of the day, every week, every month, and then every quarter. So you'll know what not to focus on and waste energy on.
Because if something doesn't like line up to your objective, why are we doing it for? Like, we're losing focus. It's a big thing that a lot of small businesses do because there's like a lot of noise and there's a lot of silver bullet. And many times I've seen small businesses get distracted by shiny objects and they lose focus. It was like, before I wanted to do this, but now I do this. That's because they're not sticking to like a framework. They don't have a process to where every quarter we have monthly check-ins to see how we're doing against the objectives for the quarter. And every quarter you got to check in to see how that quarter is doing against your year. I don't believe in keeping anything the way that it is. Like, I think people make adjustments to whatever works for their business. You know, like if you're super disciplined and you can work at a 2 week, you know, at a 2 week sprint, work at a 2 week, you know, like if you want to task yourself out things for 2 weeks to meet, you know, your key results, do that. If you need to do it more weekly because maybe your business is a little bit more agile and you find that things just change on a regular, then you could do that. But I think ultimately it's about you just taking a framework and growing off of it. Like, you just want to use it as a blueprint.
And the good part is you only have to achieve 70% of it. You don't have to feel defeated about not getting 100%. And I love that aspect of it.
You're not doing 70% to slack. You're doing 70% because you're creating big objectives, right? Like, you're aiming for the stars, you know, and you're just going to push yourself hard to try to get there. You want to get to 100%, but realistically, you probably just won't. You know, because if you start getting 80, 90%, like, you didn't dream big enough.
Well put. So if I'm hearing you correctly, if starting a business, avoid setting the lofty goals that don't have the objectives to give you the results you're looking for.
Really focus on what you're trying to accomplish. Remember what you're doing this for. Like, don't get lost in what people want from you and all these other things. Like, if you want to be true to who you are, like, you got to figure out what it takes to get to where you're trying to go and map it out. This is just a way to help you map it out. You know, like, you need direction. You need a path to follow. This is just a tool to help you do that, you know?
Mm-hmm. And how can companies stand out from competition?
So there's a lot of different ways. One, doing the tedious things like OKRs, like, they're not fun. They take time. It takes a lot of thought, but a lot of companies won't do it, right? Just like, you know, when it comes to email sequences, a lot of customers aren't going to do it. When it comes to actually, like, you know, re-engaging with your customers you already have, a lot of people not doing it. So a lot of the things that come across as annoying or as just like extra work, like, you just got to suck it up and do it, because a lot of people just won't do it. Like, instead of just always trying to throw, you know, focus on an ad campaign, a lot of people are trying to run their business off of ad campaigns. It's like, you never use one stream for all your customers. You know, you need to diversify, just like people say with money. You know, so you don't want to just use ads. You just don't want to use social media. You know, a lot of times that's overrated. People think like a bunch of followers actually converts. In many cases, it doesn't. You know, a lot of people are wasting time doing things that's popular or cool. It's like, you think having a huge following is like important when having a smaller following that are actually engaged and listen to you is actually the value. So people just go after numbers. They just want volume. Mm-hmm. When the reality is, like, that's not what's important.
Better to have a small community that are engaging, that are reoccurring customers, that are growing, helping you grow your business.
Because you're going to need feedback. You're going to need things from them. You're going to need feedback. You're going to need, like, insight when you're about to roll something out. You're going to need, like, a quick way to kind of test things. Like, there's things that you're going to need at some point. And if you don't build a relationship, how are you going to get it? You're going to send someone a survey, they're going to ignore it. When you try to, you know, ask for feedback, or when you try to, you know, present something new, like, they just bought it just because of product. At that point, you know, more and more people are coming online, obviously, right? And it's like, at some point, what's going to set you apart? It's going to be the relationship. That's the only thing that's going to make the difference, because everybody's going to be selling products or whatever the case online. But if you build those relationships now, solidify those relationships and continue to grow and actually have a brand, like actually have this purpose that you're here for, and it's very clear what you're here for, then people could grab onto that.
Building that rapport, getting to know your customer and connecting, engaging with them on a regular basis. And that includes the, you mentioned the email list, the email companies, and knowing your audience and how to connect with them. What are some marketing tactics that people overlook that they really shouldn't? Because the email, I think a lot of people, we forget about the email list because we're so focused on social media now.
Exactly. The email is going to be much, much more successful than social media because it's super targeted. Like if a person opts in from some landing page, you know their interest is in that. You know, social media is usually a lot of times your topic is on different things. You know, a person wants to watch you, but that doesn't mean they are interested in what you provide necessarily. Some people are just nosy, you know. But I think a big thing is being proactive. You know, a lot of people want to be reactive. They want to wait for situations and then try to fix the situation. Like they want to wait till their client has a problem and then try to fix the problem. And I'm saying that you should take more initiative and say, I'm going to analyze your business regularly to try to find out if there's any gaps. And if I get ahead of it and I present a potential problem that's going to happen in the short future.
Yeah, it's looking at making it a need in the favor of the customer or the client, because then it becomes more personable.
So I was talking about existing customers, right? But like for new people, prospects, the biggest problem I see is like people are too aggressive as far as like they don't believe in 6 to 20 touches, right? So people will start asking for the buy.
Right.
You know, like they'll ask immediately, first email, and you're never going to, like, who want, I don't know you. You built no relationship. And so I think the big problem that a lot of people do with marketing is they jump to the sale too quickly. Like it's a you got to look bigger picture and you think of people as people. Businesses are ran by people. They're emotional. You can call businesses emotional because it's ran by the people. So all I'm saying is when you deal with a person, you're not going to go straight up to a person and be like, you know, just jump straight in and be like, will you marry me or something like that? Maybe that's not the best example. But the whole point is like, you're going to build a relationship first. Like you're just going to provide value. So maybe you give free information away. Maybe you just, you know, do something to help them, but you don't ask immediately. And then after you start to build a rapport, after, you know, 4 to 6, that's the purpose of an email sequence. It gives you the opportunity to not just sell immediately. You know, you don't want to come to someone and just say, hey, buy this. You know, it's like after I've seen you provide value to me over time, I now feel comfortable. You've built up your credibility. I believe you. I'm opening your emails. Right. Mm-hmm. So now the credibility is there. The value is there. And when you ask me for something, it's not weird. It's not as weird.
It's not forced.
You know, because we've been talking. We've been communicating. It's not forced. It came with time. And so I think like the cycle, like people don't stretch it out long enough to where you're saying like, you know what, I'm not going to ask them for anything until we at least have 3 interactions or 4 interactions, you know.
Is that what the 6 to 20 touches is?
Well, people are just saying in general, not even just email, it takes 6 to 20 touches for someone to actually like buy something. And that's why advertisements for so long, it just repeat on the TV, right? It's the same advertising. They're not different. They just keep showing to you because they want to make a contact repeatedly, because then in your mind, you're going to start to remember them, especially if they could get a funny little jingle or something like that, right? The point is to stick it in your mind to where as soon as the situation happens, that's what you think of. But that only comes with repetition. It wouldn't happen if you saw an advertisement one time. That's why you see ads every time you go online and it'd be the same ads. Like they're trying to keep retargeting you. They want you to keep saying it, keep saying it, keep saying it until you're like, oh man, I do need that. Because people ignore it. People get caught up. It's just different things that happen to where people just don't commit, you know? but you have to keep showing. You have to keep, like, it's not a no because the first time they don't click. It doesn't mean they're not interested just because the first time they don't engage.
Mm-hmm. So to attain a competitive edge, I am hearing is to, for small businesses and entrepreneurs, is to give your service, add value in some way, give off your service for free initially, and then get turn on the sales and subscribe or rating or whatever you're looking to attain.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's giving away your services for free necessarily. It's just giving them some value up front. Before you make an offer, like, just value up front, because, you know, services are different, you know, and everybody can't give away their services. But say, for instance, if you had like infographics that you can give, right, like that may not be your end product, but it could be something that supports the end product. You know, if I'm doing websites and I create a PDF infographic that says like everything you need to know about websites. Like, someone that's gonna make someone feel like, okay, he's credible. You know, like, if I look at this infographic, wow, this is right on point. Like, this is helpful. So when it's time for you to work on a website, you may consider me because I gave you value up front, but that's not my product or my service. It's just value I'm giving out in advance.
Right. I'm curious to talk about how to grow a business without a large budget. What do you do? How do you do this?
Yeah, I think the big thing is with a budget, because that's what we always deal with, small businesses. So they always tend to have a budget. The real thing is like really identifying your real problem, like getting to the root, because a lot of people are distracted by a lot of things. And it is similar to how I said with the I need more buyers. Like, I need more sales, right? That may not be the case, you know? So it's like, why do you need to start asking those whys? Like, why do I need more people? Because I need more sales. Well, why do you need more people to get more sales? Because that's not the only way that you get sales. It's going to be cheaper, right? So if we talk budget, it's going to be cheaper for you to deal with customers you already have, learn a little bit more, and create products and services around their needs than it will be to get new customers, right? Just learn a little bit more about your people. So I think anything dealing with a budget is just really just being more laser focused. Like, if we're talking about ads, right, we want to test things out. So we want to pay attention to the emotional aspect of a person. Like, we can't triggers of your audience. You have to understand, like, what moves them. Like, is it fear?
They've already shown interest. And so that's part of understanding and getting feedback from them.
So these are all ways to save costs.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you truly are a thought leader on this. You are the expert about shaping ideas into reality. And that's looking at every facet of the company. Share with the audience three golden nuggets that you've discovered over the years of running your own business.
Mm-hmm. You need to give yourself time for thought. Like, a lot of times our lives are kind of driven by everyone else's needs or what they want. And so it's important for us to, like, always take time. I take an hour a day in the morning. I wake up early. That's one thing. I wake up early because I feel like I just have better thoughts in the morning. Yeah. Between 5 and 6, I'll get up and I feel like I have the best ideas in the morning. So I think that's very helpful. I think also just taking time to think. Like, I take an hour every day to where I'm not like thinking about what I have to do for anyone. I'm just thinking my thoughts, like allowing myself to just flow and just like see where my brain kind of take me. And then reading, continuous education, right? Like, you never know everything and things change every day.
What kind of things do you read?
Oh, everything I read is usually around like growth and development. I think Profit First was good. Oh, no, Measure What Matters. That's where you'll learn more about OKRs and things like that. I like Creativity Inc. That was really good. It was more about like Disney. I mean, about the whole like Disney and what is it that made Toy Story? I can't remember.
Isn't it Pixar?
Yeah, Pixar and Disney and stuff like that. The owners and how they went through that whole thing
with Apple. Apple buying them out.
Yeah, they included that stuff too. So anything to where I could kind of see people's journey. I really like to follow people's journey, you know, and just kind of walk through their situation with them. And then I always think about like how I would have did things different as they talk.
Those are great selection. I've read a couple of them myself, and it's imperative to educate yourself. It's imperative to learn from those that came before you and learn from their story. I like the fact that you don't take things at face value. You tweak it. You add your own flavor to it, and you make it your own because you've learned the material, and now you can repeat it back to somebody else. That's how you know you truly learn something, if you can teach it to somebody else. And the fact that you're adding your own touch to it tells me just that. And it's crucial to be able to retain that information and follow people's journey, because I'm a strong believer as an entrepreneur as well that success leaves clues. Don't try to do it on your own. Don't learn from everyone that come before you. So practices, there are principles, there are habits that have already been tested. You can apply to your life. You just have to learn it. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. Just pick up a book. And I want to get into your morning habits, because Jim Rohn says success is principles practiced daily.
Yeah.
They're just few habits. So I want to get into how you already are reading and following people's journeys and learning from them. Tell us about your morning routine.
Yeah. I mean, for me, like, again, I usually get up about 5 or 6. I do know is I get a lot of ideas and a lot of clarity. So from that, I usually like get on the computer and I start to write out everything. So I have like a glass board that I'm writing down every thought. I'm trying to expand on every idea. I'm really just trying to focus before getting my day started. And then I like to do a little bit of exercise, and that'll just be, you know, my start. It starts with the ideas, because I usually have a problem I'm going to sleep with. And so, you know, in many cases, like I'll be thinking of that solution while I'm asleep, you know. And it's interesting how the mind works like that. It's like you can really go to sleep with a problem and your brain keeps working on the solution.
Dr. Joseph Murphy talks about the subconscious mind. It has all the answers that we need. We just have to give it time. And when you give yourself time to think, in your case, you're allowing the subconscious to solve your problems. Every time that I am overwhelmed or have a big decision to make, and all my family and friends know about this, Lunita is going to sleep. She's just going to shut down the world, because I know when I wake up, I will have clear, definitive answers on how I should move forward.
I agree with that. I have the same. I go to sleep too. I got on stress. I go to sleep.
Yep. I'm done. I'm done with the world. There's nothing else I can do, because I'm only going to exacerbate this situation. I'm only going to make it worse by worrying and become stressful and overthinking things. And I'm going down a rabbit hole that is unhealthy. So I quiet down the mind. I shut it down and then have faith and trust that it will provide the answers necessary, because we have everything we need. The subconscious mind is constantly working for us. It's at work. It never sleeps. However, we don't give it the opportunity to show up.
Mm-hmm. I agree 100%. I think that's well put.
Your morning routine resonate with me because I value the opportunity to give yourself time in the morning, quiet time in the morning to gather your thoughts, to plan out the day, to know exactly what attitude, because your attitude is set in the first 8 minutes upon rising.
That's a good point.
Being able to set your attitude for what the day is going to be like. And if you do that on a daily basis, you're bound to live a successful life. You're bound to have a successful day, successful week, month, year.
You know what? I really like how you said you set your attitude for the day. I've never thought about that. But different things in the house to where it's like different motivational sayings. And I make sure I pass it. Like there's some places that I can't not pass every day. I have to see it. You know, and that helps set my tone. And so when you said, like, you set your attitude for the day, like, that's true. That's why I put it in places to where you can't avoid it. Like, I have to see things. Like, I have to know, like, you're the greatest, Muhammad Ali. You know, the greatest revenge is success. You know, like, I just, like, always have those things around to where it just, you know, it kind of keeps your head lifted up.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Those are considered your affirmation. You're feeding your mind positivity before you even leave the house. Your day is set on positivism already. And I do the same thing. I listen to positive affirmation on a daily basis because I want to reframe my mind from that negative thinking. I want to reframe my mind from the anxiety I wake up with. I want to reframe my mind from the stress that I went to bed with and change the tune. The more you repeat it, it becomes true. Because you think of a child, you hear no, no, no so many times, you become fearful. You're afraid to take to move forward. You're hesitant to be creative, to be yourself.
Right. And I think that brings up a great point to where it's like you can't be afraid to fail. Like it's inevitable. Like, I mean, it may happen. And it's just like the most important thing is your bounce back. You know, like you got to get to the point to where you can recover quickly. But it's like you cannot be afraid to just like mess up. It's OK. You know, like that's something that people beat themselves up with all the time. You're not perfect. You don't have to be perfect. You can make mistakes and it's OK. You'll recover.
It's the antidote to learning. It's the antidote to growing. Because if you don't fail, you are staying the same because you're not a risk taker. You haven't done anything different to pull you out of your comfort zone. Therefore, you don't grow.
Exactly. Without discomfort, you cannot grow. If you think back on the worst decisions you made, like you're still here, you know? So it's like, when have you not recovered?
Those are very encouraging words. Just do it, like Nike says. Just take action and see what happens. Because you already know where you're coming from, right? You already know what's back there. Like I took a trip. I lived in New York and I was in Boston in the East Coast. And I packed my car 2011 with everything I could fit in it and ship it and took a carry-on on the plane and moved to San Diego. And I was like, I know what's in Boston. I know what's in the East Coast, but I don't know what's in California. But I'm willing to find out, though. So I packed up everything and moved over here alone, not knowing anybody. But my mentality was, I know what I have. I'm curious to what can be. And it's being that risk taker to come to terms with enough is enough. I know this. This is comfortable enough. This is my reality. But how about I dream of something bigger? And then you act on it instantly. Like, don't wait. Take action. And you are a man of action, Frank. I thank you for coming on the show. We've covered, oh my, so much today on how to shaping ideas into reality to help businesses be more efficient and more effective. I really like your strategies, your three strategies. And strategy number one is understand your tribe, understand who your audience is, who your group is, build that community so that you can engage with them continuously. It's about building that rapport. And that's huge. The email list, we underestimate the power of that because we're so focused on social media and likes and reposts. But that doesn't mean they will convert. There's no conversion into that. And so the email list is just giving you feedback because people are already showing interest. So tackle that and then focus on the email list and understanding your audience because they will give you that feedback to help your product, your service. Strategy number two, Frank, that you covered is setting your goal. And that's the business owner. You're starting a business. Know what's the point. Well, understand your psychology. Why do you want to do this? Number three, we talked about SMART goals versus OKR. Mind blown for me because I didn't know what OKRs were. And after you broke it down, Frank, it really makes a lot of sense because you want to focus on the vision, but don't leave it there. Don't just set the goal and put it aside and says, okay, let's hope this comes true. But because SMART goals are great, but having these steps to attain that is even greater. That's why you're going to attain those results. Those objectives, the approach to it to attain the goal is by taking action. Taking action immediately. So that was very helpful and mind blown for me and getting into your morning routine. And we talked about that at the end of the show a lot is giving yourself time to think, giving yourself an hour a day to get up and process your thoughts because you wake up with great ideas in the morning. But when we wake up and turn on the phone and go on Facebook, go on Instagram, that it eludes you. It's gone. It's like, I gave you these great ideas, but you didn't know what to do with them. and you do that every day, and sooner or later, you will not even get those thoughts because you are too overwhelmed. You are too distracted. And then you didn't mention affirmations, but it sounds like you have the right content on your wall and around your house. As you walk through your bathroom, your mirror, your room, your kitchen, you're seeing those the great quotes that will set the tone for your day. And that is crucial. And I do the same thing. So morning enthusiasts, you've heard it here. Frank talked about follow people, people's journeys, because success leaves clues. Success leaves a trail. And you got to be able to take the first step and learn from the best. Learn from those that come before you. And so, Frank, I thank you so much for coming on the show.
I really appreciate it, Lenny.
My pleasure. Go ahead and tell us, how can we connect with you?
Yeah, so you can always keep up with us at bleedingbulb.com, BLEEDINGBULB.com. You can, from there, you'll be able to get to Instagram or just like, you know, we have a schedule feature, Calendly, and you can just sign up. You can get on the call, have a quick free consultation, and just talk about your business. You know, we start with a conversation just to understand what it is that you're trying to accomplish. And then we kind of just work back from that.
Frank, thank you so much for your time. I will talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you.
All right, morning enthusiasts, that's it for today's show. Thank you for tuning in. If you love the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, we'd love to hear from you. So go ahead and subscribe, rate, and give a review on iTunes or Google Play. While you're at it, tell a friend about the show. Be sure to visit bestmorningroutineever.com and our Facebook group to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our fantastic free bonus content. Until next time.